Motorcycle owners, here's something to stash in your saddlebags. GEICO could save you money on motorcycle insurance. And here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak to a specialized motorcycle agent who gives you a free rate quote. If you're like thousands of other riders, the rate is less than what you pay now. And before you can say, cha-ching, the agent also tells you about 24/7 emergency road service for less than a dollar a month. Savings. It's what we do for people. Call today for a free rate quote. GEICO. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Greetings, everybody. Namaste. And I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Ever Beyond. Tonight, we are going to go beyond 2010, because we're almost beyond 2010. We're going to go beyond 2010, and we're going to look at what 2010 has brought us, what it's currently bringing us, and what from those we can extrapolate to bring us in the future. Tonight, my guests, I'm very pleased to have Chris Noonan, who lives in London, the absolute center of the galaxy, and he's been watching what's been going on the streets down there. Good evening, Chris.
Jeremy, good evening.
And we also have Michelle Long over in California, in Upland, and Michelle will be describing the inner world and the world beyond. Good evening, Michelle, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and good evening, everyone.
And we will be joined later by Benjamin Murphy, who hopefully will be giving us some insight into the secret space program. He's on his way back from his work, and he'll be joining us in a little while. Also joining us in a while will be Dave Corso from Arizona, and where Dave lives is probably the largest concentration of retired black ops officers on this planet. Maybe a larger group off the planet, who knows? But Dave has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. He's been involved in many projects in the past and is one of the world's first generation of super soldiers. So, without further ado, Chris and Michelle, good evening.
Good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening.
So, Michelle, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Thank you very much.
Happy 21st birthday.
Yeah, I'm actually 39.
39. What a wonderful time.
Good numbers, very good numbers, Michelle.
That's wonderful. So, Michelle, what have you learned on your birthday? Have you had any news today? It's actually quite early in the day for you, isn't it?
It is. It's 3 o'clock, right. And I've had a really wonderful day so far. I've been on Facebook almost today because my birthday actually starts after the show. I've just been kind of hanging around the house and just really, really, I feel really centered. I feel more imbalanced and more empowered than I ever have. And this is not so much because of my birthday. I've been feeling this the last couple of days. I really feel like we're shifting. We're shifting into it's almost like another level. We've all been either doing radio shows or speaking, or it just seems like it's time to put all of this into action and really kind of hit the streets in a way and start speaking out in more public ways. and just be more active.
Yes.
Really,
externalization.
Yes. I feel like it's time. It's been itching me for weeks and months, and I felt like I've been just kind of hanging around, and I feel like it's like a collective shift.
Yes.
Because I'm not feeling it.
Definitely. It feels like something has, that we've gone over a hump of some kind.
Yes.
Yes.
I personally felt that as well. And for all of you astrologers, for people who follow the rays and follow astrology in general, we have had, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, or Michelle, but a Mercury retrograde or an upgrade we've had recently as well. So there has been a significant shift. I have felt this myself. You know, one of our very, very good friends who has been on Ever Beyond, Vonda Allen, you know, we both of us were talking about this recently, and just the flooding and the swarming of emotions that people have been experiencing definitely over the past couple of months, and the upgrade which has happened recently. So yet another shift, another movement forward into coming into 2011. It was very significant.
Yes. So let's just, I'd like to just wind the clock back to last Monday, that's the 6th of December. In my life, I have never seen such a highly emotionally charged day as it was on the 6th of December. Sorry, I've just seen in the chat room, my first car was a Mercury retrograde. Very good.
Sink.
we had a solar flare that was almost unprecedented. It was the biggest solar flare that we've had in many, many years. And one of the things that I noticed, apart from my housemate, poor housemate, he slipped on the ice and spent probably about an hour on his own, in the dark, in the snow. I didn't have a clue that he was in distress. And he broke his leg and was dragging himself on our track down the road about 150 yards. And it took him ages, and he was getting colder and colder and colder. But luckily, and for great fortune, he was rescued. And ended up in hospital, but I had no idea that he was in distress. I couldn't feel any psychic signals or anything like that. So I'm a bit disappointed in myself for not knowing, because everybody says, "Oh yes, when my friend was in trouble, I had this intuition, and I didn't have one inkling." I really feel bad, but anyway, that was me. But what happened that day was the day that they used the C word on the BBC. Not once, not twice, but three times in introducing the culture secretary, Jeremy Hunt.
Yes.
And it got a bit spoonerized. But it has never been... So it to me, that says that there was a high emotional charging that day, and there was an emotional discharge that expressed itself on the BBC in the C word. And in various other places. So have you had an experiences, of unusual stresses and tensions in the last few days?
Well, I would like to just jump straight into that, Jeremy. And, oh, by the way, I can see that David Corso has joined us, if you can hear us. Good evening, David.
Good evening, one and all.
Good evening, Dave. Oh, is that...
Hey, Chair.
Hey, mate. How you doing? Is that you, Wolfie?
That's the new Wolfie.
Oh, what a gorgeous dog. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
He's about 10 years old. He was a rescue. And he is just as gentle, as Herc.
Lovely. So, good substitute. So, Chris, where were you?
Yes, just going back to the other week, I connected with some of my friends on this and some of you guys I'm not going to name this radio show in particular for some reasons for respect for privacy as well. There was a lot of tension involved in the chat room, and particularly with the presenters as well, and it definitely hit off some buttons and whatnot within myself and with a lot of people in this chat room as well. And what I became aware of, it was the words, the tone, just the sheer aggression. And, you know, going back to myself, I'm just aware of that there's a lot of aggression. There's a lot of anger circulating around as well, as in not enough is being done. We've got to do more. We've got to, you know, revolutionize. We've got to show resistance. We can't use kind of, you know, namaste, and we can't use other things such as, like, you know, and love and light, and like thought is like is not enough. That was my personal experience, and it got to such a point where my hands were really they were sweating, my heart rate went up, whatever sigh, whatever energy was being generated was quite overwhelming, Jeremy, Michelle, and Dave, and I will admit I shared this with you guys as well, but that was my profound experience of that, and I've had my own moments before that as well, but there's been a lot of stuff pushed out of being people right out there as well, and sometimes it's not nice. It's like a clearing that is taking place also on a personal level for people, astrally and spiritually also, and on this physical level too. It's happening on so many levels for us.
Exactly, all the levels. All these levels, because, you know, I was talking about the broadcast BBC, and you were talking about an alternative program broadcast, and, you know, are you seeing, you know, you're in a big city there, Chris, and do you get a feeling that it is near Christmas, it is coming up, there's a winter going, but does it feel unusually tense?
Yes. Yes, indeed. London itself, for people that are familiar and who live in the city, are aware of, you know, you first come here, it takes you a certain amount of time to get into the flow of life, the flow of things, and the traveling and getting from, like, you know, A to Z and whatnot. But it is so tense at the moment with some things, whether it be shopping or whether it be these austerity cuts, recessional measures and whatnot. It is so tense, it can really be cutting. That is the word that I would use, cutting. So it is quite abnormal. It is abnormal. Acute, accentuated energies as well. And people are doing their best. I just want to put it out there that people are really doing their best just to keep on moving, to roll with these particular punches. Of course, it is said, It's not about you know, how hard you take the punches, taking it, you know, and moving forward as a result of that. But from my own experience and from being in the city of London, it is very much accentuated on a lot of levels.
Great, thanks, Chris. Michelle, over in laid back California, are you getting a comparable kind of feeling over there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in talking with also, as you know, we all talk with our same group, Jeremiah and others that are really, really ready to take a stand. I think we've really, really come to that point to where we've been waiting and waiting, waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden, it's kind of like we get the green light to go.
Mm.
And that's really... But I do have to tell you, Benjamin Murphy, he's not going to make it. I was chatting with him on Facebook, and he's not going to be able to make it.
All right. I did ask him if he was going to come. Did you just get him on Facebook just now?
Yeah, he thought it was at 11.
All right. It's 11 now, so...
It was at 11. Their time.
Poor Ben is on British time. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've been British descendant, so he's on British time, poor guy, yeah. We'll roll with the punches. We'll keep going regardless.
Absolutely.
We got a lot to get through, yeah.
Absolutely. So,
now, Let me interject something here.
Do. You've been attempting it a bit there. On you go, mate.
No. I was chatting with a friend of mine, and in regards to someone who we know,
mm-hmm.
comment was made, and I asked this person later, I said, where does that come from? He said, I've been following you guys for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and what I see is this. The person we all know who has been around for a while has in fact told so many lies that it's catching up to him. I says, can you elaborate further on that? He says, I don't have to. And I said, how interesting. He said, his handlers don't know what to do right now. And I said, how quaint. He said, but how long have you known? And I said, probably as long as you have. And I thought how really interesting that was that this person, whom I've known for many years, made that comment. Now, let's talk about bankers for a minute.
Let's talk about bankers.
Oh, yes.
On you go, Dave.
Here, this beautiful thing we call Bank of America is going to pay a $337 million fine. The question is, how many billions of dollars have they made from people and said, we have all these things that the taxpayers are now hanging out for their bad judgment for getting into this thing called derivatives? Them and every other bank, they're not too big to fail, but I had to pay back for what they gave to his election campaign. Now, let's talk about British Petroleum being sued, and they think it's going to go as high as $12 billion. British Petroleum was one of the single largest contributors to who?
The
imposter we call Obama. I have yet to meet an honest big banker.
And being familiar and working in that industry, you're not going to either.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you, Dave?
I'm sitting here in my office with Bubba beside me and Mr. Merla laying down at the other end where I can just see him because I'm on my new computer today.
Oh, nice.
And Sassy's here looking at me like, I want something.
Chicken?
Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to cut in, my friends, and speak to something which is very significant. This was highlighted to me by Dave a short time ago, and this is about $9 trillion of credit that went missing that cannot be accounted for, and the Federal Reserve will not bother going to look for either. And this is out there on YouTube, people. You can go, you can look for this. We can share links in the chat room. It is the real deal. We have the senator asking the questions, asking who are the recipients. And I must admit, my friends, you know, after looking at this 5:24 feature on YouTube, I was slightly pissed. Actually, I was even more pissed. I was quite angry. And I would like to talk about that since we are on the subject of finance and what is going on in the world regarding to that as well. There's been a lot of stuff going on with finance, even with reference to my own country, exactly, Jeremy, with Ireland as well, the IMF and this bailout. But I would like to talk about this $9 trillion, which accounts for up to 90% of mortgages on property in the U.S. That could be paid as a result of this money. It results to about $30,000 per person, that's like per adult, per child, on their heads in the United States. That is so much money. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Dave.
That's true. What was interesting was when I watched that the first time, I absolutely was appalled Mm-hmm. When this lady who is the Inspector General for the Federal Reserve says, well, we haven't got into that yet. She made every excuse in the world and seemed somewhat flummoxed that someone would dare question the Federal Reserve. Now, it's interesting that guess who's going to take over as chairman of the Senate, of the House Finance Committee, or Senate Finance Committee? Ron Paul. Now, I'm willing to make a bet that for some reason he gets assassinated or has a heart attack or something in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I'll bet a quarter to anybody in this room who's listening to me that that happens. Something will happen to make him where he can't do that. Because he's the one that calls for what? Fetishing the Federal Reserve. Now, dear God, they couldn't afford to have that happen because then everyone will see how crooked they are and how illegal they are.
And Dave, just to cut in, we all remember what happened to John Fitzgerald Kennedy back in the day. I think the bankers had something to do with that. But no. They're actually blaming the mafia now on it. New evidence has come out. They're blaming it on the mafia. Let's just steer people clear away from that. We all know what happens, my friends, and out there as well. When politicians and presidents get involved with the banks, get involved with the Federal Reserve, not for the better or for the further livelihood of them, but the other way as well. One thing is certain as a result. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're absolutely correct, Chris. Absolutely correct. And what's even more interesting is when you take a look at what's going on in this country now, they couldn't get this food safety bill passed. So what did they do? They attached it as a rider to the Defense Authorization Bill, which is now hung up in this House. And who had a big hand in writing this food safety bill, which among other things says what? I can't have a garden unless I use seeds because I'm not allowed to save seeds. Well, Monsanto. And guess who Monsanto just bought about a month ago?
Hollywood.
They bought the company name is Z. It used to be named as Blackwater. So now they can put their thugs out harassing people. We have over 90 people in the House and Senate belong to the American Socialist Party. What does that mean? That means they want to make us just like Germany was.
Yeah.
It didn't work there. It ain't going to work here because what the people are doing, people are starting to wake up in masses. In masses. That is till Sunday afternoon when the races come on or some sports program comes on. Then they get buried in sports. It's the new panacea. It's the new opiate for the people. Yep. Sports and things like reality programs, which are what? They're the furthest thing from reality I've ever experienced. I don't even watch them.
You know, it's very interesting that you bring this up. Because this is one of the things that I was, in fact, the company that I work for does employ, we've got quite a few German people over there, and I was talking with a German lady, and it just reminded me, today is like 1938. It is like cabaret. The Nazis are moving in, they're wrecking the economy, they're creating false flags, whether Obama is the next Hitler or whatever, I don't know. He may or may not be the architect of all this. But it just feels like we are in a replay. We're seeing the same events. You know, tried it once, why not try it again? Yeah, we're seeing the same events rolling out. And does anybody feel that? And the other question, the corollary to that is, if we do recognize it and we do know what's down the road, if we're heading down a road, who is there to stop them? I have a thought about this, about who is there to stop them, and I think it's quite a surprising response. But
try me and see.
I'd like to just open that question up, and I'll come back with what my thoughts are.
Go, Michelle. Go, for
Michelle,
it.
Please.
No, I'd only after Dave. Dave as before.
What I think's going to happen is this. There's a lot of people in the service who are waking up soundly. Now with this lieutenant colonel who has just been court-martialed because he questioned Obama about legal orders, and he wasn't allowed to present any evidence that his lawyer had. Any illegal law, you are not bound to follow. End of discussion. Because when I look at what's going on and I think of all the illegal laws that are out there, I think, my God, how could people be so freaking dumb?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more, Dave.
And when I look at what they're going to do to Social Security, they want to cut Social Security. Why? Because it costs too much money. But yet the politicians took how much? $24 million from Social Security to do what? To computerize all their records. They didn't take it from they didn't take it from their funds. They took it from Social Security. Now, we can thank a gentleman by the name of Bill Clinton for taking Social Security and taking it out of the trust fund that was in and moving it to what? The general fund, so they could loot it. So what do we have in Social Security? Well, we have a bunch of useless promises to pay back from the federal government that they're never going to pay back, because we can't pay back if we do things like, oh, but to illegal aliens, and they passed the Dream Bill. Yet, we're so concerned about security that we do illegal pat-downs where they squeeze your junk and they give you radioactive, or they make you radioactive from scanners, but they don't seal the border. Why? Because illegal aliens are the new slave labor class. Haven't they got it yet? They're the new slave labor class. And if you illegals listen to this, think you're up for something special, you're going to get it, all right. You're going to get slave labor, baby. Wake up and smell the roses, because they ain't roses no more.
Not the the welcoming of America that they might imagine, eh?
No, I mean, would you welcome someone that broke into your house?
No, not really.
Well, they broke into America, and they should be shot and sent back. That's my personal opinion.
That brings it. Well, thank you for that. I must admit that was very, very passionate words, Dave. You know when stuff comes straight from the heart, and thank you for saying that. And that brings us on to that particular area of waking up, becoming aware. I was having a conversation with a family member earlier on, my friends, and they mentioned about, oh no, you know what, I don't want to start a revolution. I said, no, I didn't tell you or ask you to start a revolution. I said, become more awake, become more aware. The three C's, if I can remember them all now, I'm on the spot, you know, with my background in theatre, this is the way we're told to look at things, you know, to be curious, to be courageous, also, you know, and I'll get to the other three. I'll try and remember that as well. But curiosity, courage, yes, courageousness are very, very important at this time in terms of waking up. When we look flat blankly, the Federal Reserve said the IG, the Inspector General Elizabeth Coleman, responded saying that they did not know and they're not tracking where this money is, $9 trillion. Now, if they're doing it there in the States, what the heck is going on in Europe? What the heck has been going on in my country, Ireland, behind these closed doors with this duplicity and double talk, which has been been kind of shown a lot more now with WikiLeaks, which is something I'm sure we will talk about tonight, Jerry. It's like, what the heck is going on? What does it take for people to have to look around, question it? Does that feel right to you? Go back to root base, people. Ask yourself what I've been asking myself from a young age. There's something wrong going on. Why are countless families, adults, children, babies, why are they dying of starvation? Why are people being kept in this financial position? Ask yourself, why is that still happening when there is enough to go around, when we're sitting on top of these wine mountains, these butter mountains, these salt mountains, all of these things? Isn't there enough to go around the world, people? You know, someone said it to me, Jeremy, I may have mentioned this to you some time ago, if we distributed all this wealth around the world, every single living person would have up to about $12 million or £12 million each.
Absolutely.
Something is going wrong. When people go on, you're just a conspiracy theorist, you're thinking this, you're thinking that, you're watching too much X-Files, you're mad. I will say, and excuse my language, that is a load of bull. You know what,
yeah.
People, that is, always take it back to center, take it back to base. Why is this stuff going on? You answer that criteria for me, and I'll listen a lot more. Something is still not right in this world, and it's got to stop, it's got to change, and it is changing. As Dave said, there are masses upon masses of people waking up. They're not the new world order. They are the old world order now. They are turning on their heels, and they are cringing. And as Dave said as well, it's like someone's got to put a gun to them and say, right, you know what? You turn on your heels, and you don't look back. You don't come back here.
I'd like to... sorry, Michelle. Do follow.
Yes, quickly. When the banks are able to lend out 10 times the amount of every dollar that is put into the banks, what do? They give out mortgage loans that have high interest. This is how they deplete our system. I just want to say this really quickly, and then after Jeremy, I can get into the spiritual part of it. But what they do is they create non-money, non-physical money, money that they're allowed to borrow on our physical money that we put in the bank. Then they write notes. They build the confidence of the people. They refi, cash out. They take vacations. They build an extra room. Families growing, you know, or they buy a new car, which I saw right before somebody closed a deal, they're buying a car. I saw that a lot of times. And what they do is they build the confidence of the people. Now all of a sudden, what people are putting, the money that they borrowed, they're putting it into the system. The values of the property are going up and up and up and up and up, creating the real estate cycle. Real estate cycle is every 7 to 10 years. It's nothing new, people. Pay attention. But we get caught up in it every time. Now we flood our community, everything with all money. What do? They know they know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to buy into it hook, line, and sinker. They're going to crash the system, pull out all the physical money, and say thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is very well said, Michelle. I just want to kind of get in on something else. I want to make a statement to people, and I made this statement to some family I was talking to about this as well. You know, assisting them, giving that half glass of water, with helping them be more aware of what is going on. You know, helping to, you know, assist and increase that knowledge. People, you know, it's. Please, you know, accuse us of, you know, saying, right, you know, you're these conspiracy theorists, you're trying to start a revolution. No, it is not like that at all. I just lost what I was going to say, but Jeremy, I'll get back on track.
Yeah. just to get back to this, the initial topic was the emotional release that's been going on. And I want to now move a little bit further. We're seeing what the problems are. We're seeing that there's money going everywhere. There's corruption everywhere. And we're also seeing a situation that looks depressingly like Germany in 1938. Now, because we can see it, then we can do something about it. And what can we do? Also, now, hold that in abeyance, but also there is another angle on this, and these are called the prosperity programs. bless you. In the 1970s, I believe, these programs were started, and there's also one that was a very ancient one that was started by one Saint Germain in, I think, the 17th century, whereby he collected, he got all the kings and queens of Europe and wherever he could get for them to pool all of their money so that they could make it all work, and that became the banking systems and or the particularly the BIS, the International Settlements Bank. But what happened is that he secreted some of that money away, you know, like the guy who took the quarters of a penny, you know, every transaction that there's a little bit of fraction left over, he put into a fund, and, you know, eventually he became a millionaire. So there is a large fund. This fund has real physical gold, and part of the goings on behind the scenes has been the release or the plans and the implementation of the release of these funds to the common people, the little people, as they've been called in this thing. But the funds to be released to everybody, basically, like you were saying, Chris, to distribute the money that was being sequestered, to distribute to everybody in the world, so that actually everybody becomes wealthy. If everybody's wealthy, there are a whole lot of different ways of being that we can be. And this is what I'd like to move towards. I'd like to move towards a future where prosperity is nothing that is unusual, but it's more common than lack of prosperity. It would be a weird thing. So has anybody here heard of this program or these programs? There are several.
You mean like the one George Soros runs?
I'm not sure about Soros. I think that's a personal prosperity plan, isn't it?
He allegedly has 2,100 tons of gold he owns. Physical gold, not paper.
Uh-huh.
Where did he get his money at?
Yeah. And how much of that is tungsten?
Probably, knowing him, none. We give that to China along with $800 billion worth of what? The Amero, which they said, enough of this paper money.
And they were annoyed by that a lot.
They own 45% of the mortgages in this country. 45%. And their Secret Service has now got permission to come over here and foreclose on these houses. Hmm. Now, let me give you an example of what's going on. I just got my assessed valuation. This is for the year 2010-2011. My land's value, assessed value, is $12,600. The structure's valued at $16,340. The total taxable value is $82,686. For 2011-2012, my assessed value of my land is $6,300. My personal property is $11,717. My taxable value is $51,477. 3 years ago, taxable value of my property and house was $275,000.
So you've basically devalued by down to a tenth of that, is that right?
Well, it's about, it was 275,000, now it's 51,000. You know, it's dropped down.
20% of its original value.
Yeah, so it's dropped 80%.
Yeah, so that's about. But what you're talking about, really, I mean, in terms of true value, that's about how much it would have cost to buy the land and to build the house and things like that, isn't it, Dave? It's more actually in line with its real value rather than some
actually,
kind of...
Actually, 16 years ago,
yeah.
I have a modular home that I've added a 12 by 38 foot legal room on.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 1,700 square feet. This house in 1994, when it was moved here to be installed, was less than $30,000. They paid $4,500 for the land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to replace this house, my insurance company has over, I have over $200,000 on my property and my buildings. So when I look at this assessed evaluation, what's that tell me? It tells me the real estate agents and appraisers are the two are almost as corrupt as the bankers.
Absolutely, and they're all in each other's pockets. So here we are. We're at a point where things are starting to devalue or revalue. Maybe we could start again. I don't know. However, we can't go back to using the banks. It's like, you know, going back to using the same drugs. You know, we've got to wean ourselves off of the Federal Reserve note because we know it's fraudulent. It's empty. There's nothing behind it. It's just fake numbers and corruption that creates it and makes it quote real unquote. So we've got to move beyond that. We've got to move beyond derivatives and fake real estate prices. We've got to move back to paying things for what they're worth, you know, buying things for what they're worth. That's just one aspect. Everything else, we need to move towards a real truth. We need to disclose the truth about the secret space program. This is what I was hoping to have Benjamin on earlier, to see what's happening in the black ops world. So hopefully, Dave, is there a kind of feel of what's going on in the black ops world, you know, given your next door neighbors and things like that? Are they happy? Are they panicking? They're retired, so they're speaking to their ex-colleagues and people who are still inside. What's the feeling, Dave? What's the feeling going on now?
The sense that I get from all of this is the powers to be are absolutely panicked. Absolutely freaking panicked. Why?
Why?
Because people are questioning things now. They're saying, why does it have to be like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be like that? Well, you know, it's simple why I prefer the company of canines to most people.
Yeah.
You help a canine out, he isn't going to bite you back.
No.
When I look at these politicians who to me are a bunch of greedy bastards, and I look at what they're doing to this country, what they're doing to the countries all over the world, and I have to say, why does it have to be like that? Because they are so dishonest, they don't know any other way. They think that we are their slaves.
Mm.
They think that we are, in fact, beholden to them, and that anything they say we should just absolutely fall all over ourselves. I got news for you, and particularly you, Harry Reid. Your day of reckoning is coming, and thank God I'm not going to be God judging you when you die. Because Harry, my personal opinion is this: you're going straight to hell. Because you haven't lived up to your what you promised you said you would do. You haven't done anything except enrich your own self at the expense of others. You've lied, you've cheated, and to me, you've stolen. And that goes for every politician in this country and in the world. They don't know what honesty, honor, and integrity is. All they think about is, what can I put in my pocket to make myself better? How can I appease the people who I owe? Like the people who finance their re-elect pains. Funny thing about all this material wealth they think they're accumulating. When they die, they can't take it with them. You can't take it with you. The only thing you take with you is your good name and what you've learned in this life.
Totally.
And if you have learned how to be honest, honorable, and have integrity, you're going to get a much higher reward than those that learn to lie, steal, cheat, and make life miserable for everybody else. Now, am I sitting in judgment of these people? Nope, ain't my job. But God will do it.
Just to cut in there, Dave, what you were saying, Jeremy, to go back to you, the answer, you're saying, well, what can we do? What is the answer? Well, as the Hopi elders have said, and you know, Miriam Delicato has echoed this, countless people have echoed this, we are the answer we've been waiting for. We don't have to accept everything that is being fed to us. Oscar Wilde said a very, very famous thing about disobedience. Would we move forward in this world if we obeyed everything? If there weren't people like us discussing this now, or artists, artisans, all of these other good politicians and people, I mean, would we really move forward?
I have a thought, and this thought arises from all this sentiment that we've been talking about in the last three quarters of an hour. What if all of this was deliberate? What if this is all part of the game plan? What if they're trying to make us really angry?
I've thought about that.
Okay. So, here's a solution to that what if. If that's true, then be nice. Act in a way that runs completely contrary to how mobs rule, to how behaviorists would have us believe and behave. So a behaviorist would, you know, poke you with a stick until, you know, you started getting cross. But what if we didn't get cross? What if we realized that behaviorist was just a stupid twat and didn't need to, you know, we'd find some other way of stopping them, you know, take the stick off them, or just smile, step back, walk out of the room.
But also perfect. The very fact that is happening, because the collective consciousness as it stands right now needs that to complete the cyclical cycles that have always been in place.
Absolutely. We need that positive love energy to be moving around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the grander scale, that needed to happen. The very fact that they did that played in perfectly to get us to where we need to be. Just like a lot of the awakened ones said, we know what we're here to do. Maybe not entirely clearly, but that's also part of it too. We're all learning, all of us. Anybody says they have all the answers in one, you know, we're all learning, but we're all learning in perfect timing. Everything is cyclically moving to get us to the ultimate, which is what? Ascension.
And ascension will only happen, not on a date. It might not be the 21st of December on some year coming up soon, 2010, 2011, 2013. I've heard everything, you know. But I believe that time acts as an accretion, that it's the layering of one event upon another that is actually what time is. And what time is when we will ascend will be the time when everybody's ready for it, when we've all done that karmic thing, you know, that we've had our leg broken, or we've slipped on the ice, or we've had to look after somebody who slipped on the ice. To me, that was, you know, although it was a difficult situation with my housemate, it's actually given me the chance to, you know, serve somebody completely unselfishly. You know, he's just a friend, you know, and I was able to do something for him. And to me, that felt like that's my revolution. That's me being revolting in this world revolution, but it's a global love revolution and not the global socialist revolution that is the plan of the Illuminati.
Mm. And that is the thing, Joe. We're not directing people. I know I was feeling passionate, I got, and I tend to get stuck up my thought, and I just have to pull back and move on. But I've been itching to say it now. We're not saying to people, you know, go into London, pick up sticks, attack police, get kettled, and all of that. What I would like to say is very important. People, go out there, live, love, have your experience, play the game of life. You know, the game with money. Play the game. Go for it. Do what you have to do and what is of your highest good, your benefit, your experience. We're not telling you what to do, but realize it's a game. There's players there who want a lot more. They want a lot more control of you and everything else that is going on around you. Be aware of the elephant in the corner. Be aware that the magician is conducting that trick as well, because there are some serious players in the game. Just be more awake, just be more aware, but please go, do live your life with accordance to your highest good of what you feel that is for you. And if that works for you, grand, very, very good. That's your experience. But don't be afraid. Take that half glass of water, come back for more, speak from the heart more and say, well, do you know something? No, I don't agree with that. And again, just to echo what I said earlier on, guys, just go back to that center, go back to that root cause. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Answer me these questions. I don't understand. If governments are more transparent, democratic, if they really lived up to what they said and served their people, well then, my friends out there who are listening and you guys hearing the show, wouldn't things be a lot grander, more loving, and different than they are now? And that's what I would like to say there.
I would like to reiterate, I watched 2012 last night, the movie, for the first time, all the way through.
God help you, Dave.
No, and the most poignant part of that was when the gentleman who was the cosmetologist or whatever he was, he says, when we stop rescuing people and stop trying to be our best, what does that say about us as people?
No longer people.
No longer people. Now, when I take a look at, it was interesting because they were all trying to get to China because they had arcs there that were going to save hundreds of thousands of people, heads of state, so on and so forth. And it was very interesting that when I watched it, I could really relate to what he was saying, in that you cannot hide behind screens of lies and deception like the powers that be are. They're being found out, and they do not like it because people are questioning what's going on with them. Now, to go along with what Chris said, if you play the game, don't play it with their rules, you're going to lose. Like I tell people who have problems with this, that, and 47 other things, play the game with your rules. That's why I do. Now, do I worry about what the powers to be think of me? Nah, I could care less. You know why? What's the worst thing they can do to me? The worst thing they can do to me is maim me. Not kill me, maim me. Do I worry about that? Nope. You know why? Because I simply don't care what they want to do.
You know, that is such a good attitude, because so many people are paranoid about getting their, you know, being watched by black helicopters and being followed or being, but some of us just see that as that's just them being them.
Exactly right.
And what can they do? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do anything. They're just watching to intimidate.
It's just like the TV license. Sorry, yeah. I was saying it's just like the TV license. I say to people, they don't have enough people to terrorize you to blanket the whole of the country where you are in Ireland, Northern Ireland, or in the United Kingdom to knock on your door at a certain day of the week. They can't cover the entire populace. And ask yourself, why are they out there, the powers that be, the government, creating these advertisements on TV and radio and whatever gear form, whatnot? And why are they creating these? To scare the crap out of you into paying money towards them. Ask yourself these fundamental things, people, and you'll be amazed at some of the feedback that you'll be given when you just listen into yourself. Sorry, Michelle, you cut in there as well.
Oh, just really quickly, I personally had my greatest awakening, my greatest burst of spiritual growth when I thought it was the darkest things that were happening to me. They did me a favor. And they keep giving me favors.
Yep.
But it's my attitude towards it. I always ask, see, what's the lesson?
Yeah, and that's them fulfilling their purpose. And that's the weird thing, you know, them kind of standing and staring at you, and you looking back at them going, yeah. And
I'm like, kind of like, hello, I see you.
Exactly, and that's your lesson of being cool, and that's their lesson of, well, look, what the heck are you doing here? why don't you just go and do something nice, you know? And I think that's the problem. And yeah, they're stuck in the body identification, and they're not seeing the game, the play, the jam of it all, the jam session. You know, we could jam with them. That's what you do. You jam with them. We're all dancing with the powers that be. They may get their, Dave, do you want to mute your mic? Thank you. They have their games, and they're playing their dance, and they've planned it, and they've told us all about it, and they've had all the movies and everything like that, and they're still trying to play a fear game. What I've been doing recently, I've been defearing myself. I've been pulling all the little quills of fear that the government and the powers that be, or the corporations, or the Nazi government, or whatever you want to call it, the secret government, has tried to do to me. And I drive around in a car that isn't registered, that hasn't got tax, it hasn't got MOT. It's a fine, roadworthy car, but I don't pay any of their money. I don't pay them taxes anymore. I don't earn any money, so I don't pay any taxes. So, and I'm nice to people. I do things for people. I do things, too many things for free. Dave, can you mute?
Yeah.
Sorry, can you mute your mic? You're making me sound. So, I'm trying to demonstrate in my own life a way of living that is so unconnected with their world and connected with the world of the future of how I think things should be. I want to create my own timeline, or a timeline where we are all happy.
Do you want to go outside?
And I think really that's where we're all at. This is the sole purpose of our group.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more, Jay, and I do realize we've got coming about three, nearly what, two or three minutes left. And there were so many things, like, you know, WikiLeaks 2011, kind of with a view to the future that we wanted to talk about as well.
Well,
I'm sure we'll cover that
now. We can still talk about that, but we can go over by an hour.
Okay.
And it'll come out in the archive. So anybody who wishes to join in with this, you can join us in this call room. The number is there at the top of the page. You just need to scroll up. And you can join us there. Some of us can even join us through Skype. You're perfectly welcome to do so and to listen in to the second half of this and maybe interact with us. That's your choice. Otherwise, we'll be playing a tune, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes in the archive. And so I'd like to thank you for joining us in the chat room and listening to the show. And we'll be back next week And certainly in January, the next scheduled show is in January with another show with Rita Hayes.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be great.
Going beyond relationships and into the tantric. So, let's take some time and good night, everybody.
Good night.
You guys stay on the line. Cause we're
good night, folks.
Everyone being quiet. With you. Are we all back? Someone either has a squeaky chair or there's a bird.
Well, I'm here, Dave. Michelle is here. Jer is there. The music is just being killed there. So I'd imagine we are back, but off air. But we're recording. So maybe Jer is just getting it sorted at the moment.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't hear me.
he's muted again.
Sometimes I just don't notice, and I'm blabbing away, and I was saying all sorts of things.
So thank you for covering that dead air. Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure. Just to let you guys know, I may bow out at some point. I have an extremely late start in the morning, but I will do my best to contribute towards the conversation. Absolutely.
And you have to maximize your beauty sleep there.
But I'm going to have to I'm not going to be able to be on the full second hour because I have a birthday dinner to go to.
Right. Well, anyway, let's crack on then and squeeze out as much as we can before the timer switches off. So, Shell, do you want to put out a couple of just stop me, Michelle. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Gosh, we were covering, we're kind of jumping back and forth from spirituality to really hardcore financial, negative type stuff. But I believe that it's important to really go into both because we need to be aware. A lot of people are not aware of a lot of the financial stuff that's going on. They'll see a lot of the little clips on the news, but they're not going to get the real story. So if some of us are coming off a little bit negative, it's not because we are negative people in our hearts. It's just that there's a need to get this information out. And it's very important that people understand so they can open their eyes. We've already had our eyes opened quite a bit through different experiences. Our spiritual paths are all different. So we're going to have a different piece of the puzzle. We're going to have a different... we're going to have different pieces of information to contribute. And this is really important that we all start coming together and contributing those. And that's what the stepping forward is all about. And it could be scary. And meeting a lot of people, opening up conversations, I think that if we start doing this and enough of us start talking about it, often people will get more comfortable and they'll start putting their own. But going back to the spirituality part of it, we're starting to really get that nudge and push, as we discussed earlier, about actually taking action And what Chris had said, it doesn't mean we're going to pick up our sticks and start chasing down the politicians. It just means that we're gonna start maybe go out and ask people questions, and then maybe give them our perspective or give them a little give a little bit different information, you know, to where they can see what we see. And it's not that everybody needs to see what we see, but it is a lousy construct, and we're not going to change. Our level of ascension will determine what the collective consciousness is at that time, when things really start coming down. Because I don't know about you guys, but every time I get a download, there's something that's emergency, and it's like a day or two or a week later, it's like it's gone. And I think that is because we've raised our consciousness, and that no longer exists. It no longer applies. It's like, you know, I guess it's quantum physics. We have multiple possibilities going on, but the very fact that we're focusing our intention on one, that's how we create our future, by our dominating thoughts. Because in that third dimensional existence, we'll collapse all the other possibilities, and that will be our future, what we focus on. I think the same thing's happening collectively. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I do like the idea of being able to draw together all the different timelines, all the positive ones, so that, you know, the positive timeline that you predict in, that you want in your future, and the positive timeline I want in my future. And there are threads that cross over, that there are events that we both want to be at. This can add greatly to all the positive threads. And also, because we put our attention into the positive timeline threads, it causes the negative timeline, and that's created by worrying about money. It's created by worrying about being stopped by the police if you're driving a car. It's all of those little niggles and worries that keep us from being the 100% fully dimensional cosmic being that we really are. And what we're trying to do in this movement, I believe, is to pull those illusions away, to just say, you know, you can see somebody slaving away at something, and you say, you don't need to do that, you can just do this. And they realize that this is a slightly simpler method is going to save them an awful lot of time. And we can just move on. We can just keep moving on and keep moving.
Yes, because it is. It is overall. It's oh, there's the doggies. Hello.
Dave, could you mute your mic, please?
Hang on. I've got to find the right thing to do it with.
It's
1213321. Okay, sorry, Chris.
No, because it is, it is a smoky mirror. There are a lot of illusions. And, you know, people could even say that this is one big, that it is one big illusion. You know, it is a matrix. And speaking about that positivity as well, and to reinforce what Michelle was saying to us, it's like our hearts are, our intentions are in the right place. And it was very passionate in the first hour, because it's a green light for go, and we've got a lot of stuff that we want to say, and our intentions, and, you know, being in our hearts, is to be there for people, to care, to share, to assist people, like the wise old, you know, the ancient Asian saying about, you know, if a man is thirsty, you give him a half glass of water. You don't give him too much straight away. You don't give them too much straight away. Just give them a half glass at a time. And that's what I've been doing a little bit more now, just to assist people. You know what I mean? So, like, just have a look at this. How does that feel to you in the words that we would use as being right or wrong? What would you pick from that? Look at these fundamentals. Be a little bit logistical about it. Be exploratory about it as well. I mean, I would like to point people towards David Wilcock. Have a look at divinecosmos.com. Have a look at his articles, is very well spoken, well written, very well articulated articles about China's October surprise, and many of the other articles he has written as well. This is a gentleman who is very, you know, he's quite a well-known name for the past couple of years in the esoteric area, who's had a lot of experiences that we have had, lots of ups and lots of downs as well in his life. He speaks about hope for the future. In my heart, I want all of the things, of course, that everybody else wants. You know what I mean? I would ultimately not want this crap, this doom and gloom, all of this stuff that is going on. I am hopeful that everything is going to be okay for us. But sometimes, you know, I will admit, it's like, come on, people, what does it take for you? I mean, do you need some sort of serious, almighty slap of the head, the backside, to see what is going on around you? It's like, I'm sure you don't want to feel that level of what is happening. But as someone said in the chat room as well, Jeremy, Michelle, and Dave, it's people take it at their own levels. You can't force somebody to wake up like that. And I personally, I would respect that. But with a view to the future, with 2011 and beyond, you know, getting into this area now, guys, and getting into WikiLeaks and whatnot, what has been going on, what has been pushed out of the dragon's mouth, or so to speak, there's going to be a lot of bumpy stuff. We thought this year was very profound and pretty crazy with everything from Haiti in January of 2010 up, you know, Chile, Iceland, all these geopolitical, geothermal earth changes. I mean, I think and feel we're in for a lot more next year and coming into 2012 as well. There's so many things we can't see, smell, taste, hear or touch at play. But when we get through all this bumpy stuff, and even, you know, Cliff High, the web bot, see, he mentions this as well. You know, there's going to be one kick-ass party if we can just carry each other, as you two and Johnny Cash sing, just carry each other through this as well. And let's really keep that, you know, that global love revolution going as well. Let's keep on pushing with the positivity, you know, also. But we should not be afraid to recognize that there is, you know, a lot of dark forces, a lot of yin yang kind of happening as well. With this positivity, there's an awful lot of crap trying to control the scene also. But we can't force people to see that. We can't force people to see that, and unfortunately, you can try, but it's like putting an animal in a corner. You know, they
or talking to my son,
Steve, yeah. But he's getting there, Dave. He's getting there.
Yeah, he is, actually. And I apologize for my dogs barking, me not muting my mic.
That's right. I'd like to get into, Jeremy, I'd really like to get into WikiLeaks, because this is going to drum up a lot of things, you know, with disclosure, civil unrest.
Okay, we'll talk about WikiLeaks, and then we'll open the Chinese box, shall we?
Chris, can I make one more comment before you start to move on to another thought? Because I really feel it's important that I say this really quick. The ones of us that are awake, it is our responsibility to really hold the space for the others, because we are all on our own path, and we can't force people. And even if we have a very intelligent discussion with someone, if it's not their time to get it at that time, there's not much we can do about it. So the one set of us that are awake, we really need to stay centered and focus our energy as positive as possible. It doesn't mean docile and lay down and let everyone walk all over us. No, we really have to come into our true power and hold that space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
Mm-hmm. Extremely well said,
Jeremy.
Michelle.
Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely. So, having held our vibration, let's hold our vibration very, very still, because we have to look at something a bit shaky. And we need to look very, very cleanly, squarely in the face of WikiLeaks. Now it's become a meme, WikiLeaks. You know, it's a common thought that there's
there's somebody out there who's actually telling government secrets, or sort of, or maybe. It's not, you know, this is something that you and Chris and I and Dave and everybody here, we're all used to leaked information. It's like a way of life. It's like an everyday occurrence. But you know what I'm saying? But to the world, it's quite unusual, you know. And so there's this real dichotomy from this kind of inside fringe community that I speak for myself and everybody here, and probably all the listeners as well, regard, you know, Constantine-like. We're in this place where leaks are a normal thing, and this is nothing special. In fact, people are seeing very clearly, you know, hang on a second, they're talking about Saudi Arabia, and they're talking about Turkey and all these other people, and Hillary Clinton, but they're not talking about Israel, and they're not talking about India. You know, is there some kind of slant going there? I mean, what my feeling is that poor Bradley Manning, this is the boy who was just the army thing, I think they just left a few doors open for him. And he wandered in, and he had his chip, and they didn't search him for the chip. And they, you know, I believe that this whole thing has been set up in order to create a huge distraction for the fringe community.
God love you, Jeremy. You're right on targeting.
Thank you, Dave. So I believe that that's a very interesting angle on it. Well, it's interesting because I think it's interesting. Dave, Chris, Michelle, what do you think?
I would be, just to cut in, guys, I would be a little bit more tentative than you guys would, for the reason of let's see how this rolls out. There's so much kind of going on. One of our other friends, one of our other dear friends originally from Florida, you know, kind of gave this term, excuse my language, you know, they call it a shit sandwich, a crap sandwich. So there's just so much going on inside this particular sandwich. There's some of the good stuff, and there's some not so good things possibly in there as well. And at the core, well, let's see. As regard to WikiLeaks, I'm tentative because I believe there's a lot more to come. I couldn't myself write it off straight away and say it's, you know, this is related to Mossad. I understand there hasn't been certain things said about India, and especially about Israel. That does raise the significant eyebrow on that situation. But I also realize, guys, that there is a lot of misinfo. There is a lot of disinfo, and there's a lot of these agents that, you know, are plaguing the internet with this information that can point us to that direction, which, you know, utterly can cause confusion and conflict as well, which is what these people, these agents, these other agents of the powers that be specialize, earn their dough at. Go for it, Jeff.
I will tell you how to find these agents. The misinformation artists you will find in the media will be the ones supporting the hate bill. Simple.
Which hate bill?
The one that they haven't put out yet, but that will happen.
You mean the internet hate bill?
Yeah.
Gee, isn't it interesting that when in doubt, they pass new laws that are unconstitutional?
Yeah, but they're not already written. You know, that somewhere there's a big photocopier pumping these things out.
According to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which I firmly embrace and live by, is if a law is unconstitutional, you don't have to obey it, and they cannot press you for it. And if they do, you can fight that in court.
Indeed, you're now committing treason.
Exactly, because now is what we're seeing now is with this lieutenant colonel that they just unjustly court-martialed. The judge told him he could not bring any information in there having to do with his case against what Obama is, a proper citizen or not. Well, if you look at all the stuff that has been, shall we say, exposed about him traveling and all this other stuff, there's no way he could be an American citizen. And if those people who are listening don't like it, check it out for yourself. I have. Good Lord. Wake up, folks, before it's too late and you're in a concentration camp and I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that, I mean, with regards to WikiLeaks, that it is just pushing for a massive false flag, or this is a massive false flag? Is this the thing that Cliff High was talking about this shift, this tipping point? You know, it's not about being on time. I mean, Jeremy, do you feel that the WikiLeaks thing was the tipping point for something? How do you feel about that?
No, I think the TSA event, you know, the explosion of the TSA, people being felt up, kids, the videos on YouTube of kids being molested and stuff like that, that's a disgusting point. That's a disgusting point because, you know, people are, it's a visceral. At this point, you know, it's gone visceral. Everything else has been an intellectual. But when you actually see and hear about these things, it goes visceral. People's guts react. Mm-hmm. And that is what will turn the revolution. However, what we need to do is take the energy of this gut reaction and focus it on exactly where it needs to be focused.
Exactly
on the point. Because there's only 300 of them. You know, there are not many of them. And pitchforks, and whatever the, and lanterns and you know, it only has to take one night. There are 300 million Americans. Wake up.
Yes. And
sorry about
and
rant, but I mean, I love you all. Yeah. You're my soul brothers and sisters, and it's got to happen. You know, they're going to leave your country soon. They may already have gone, but there are still some of them around. Get them. Mail them.
Mm.
There's only a few of them, and they deserve what they get.
And
point. Sorry. I think I just expressed an entire nation's grief there, but...
It was fantastic, Jeremy. I mean, I'm still learning how to say no. If you don't agree with that, and if it doesn't sit with you, say no in whatever way you can. If it's writing an email, if it's typing an email, if it's writing a letter, if it's saying it to someone else in conversation, I don't agree with that. That fundamentally does not sit with me. Whatever it may be, it's a demonstration that you don't agree with this.
More to the point, not that this doesn't sit well with me, is stop that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we hear from some Americans here? Let me hear an amen.
Amen to that.
I have an issue with that word, but that's for another...
Yes. Ancient Egyptians and all that. Amen, Ra. Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I get you. Anyway, go on.
Amun, of course. Yes, the Egyptian god, the pharaoh, Amun, yes. But do you feel? I mean, we've seen the, you know, this CIA honey trap that has happened recently with Julian Assange. It's completely obvious that people are trying to cut off every sort of kind of life breath, like kind of life blood, with this guy. They're going to a lot of trouble to cut this guy off now. Do you still think, guys, that this is Mossad, Israeli intelligence related, not Israeli people, but Israeli government and Mossad / CIA / ISI related? Yeah, I mean, do you still feel with everything that's going on that it is Israeli related?
I think it has a whole lot to do with that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, the real truth why John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated was for two reasons. One, he was going to do away with the Federal Reserve Board.
That's correct.
And number two, he was going to out their nuclear weapons being built at Dimona.
And speak about UFOs as well, a lot more. Mm-hmm.
There's also the killings of the King ceremony in the esoteric world.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there, he didn't have much of a chance, did he, really?
No, but if you take a look at John Fitzgerald Kennedy, when he was assassinated, And then they had that sucker already set up named Lee Harvey Oswald. But when he was assassinated by Jack Ruby, who was Jack Ruby? He had connections with the CIA. He was dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And why did the driver slow down to almost nothing? Because whenever the governor from Minnesota tried to replicate what happened, there is no way they could replicate it. No way. So what does that tell you about everything they've told us about the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy? Like maybe it's a lie and a cover-up? Could that be? Here in America, our government lied to us again and again and again.
Ever since then?
Have they ever told us the freaking truth?
Well, that's the question.
That's where the lie became obvious, maybe. And certainly with 9/11, and, you know, it's becoming more and more quick, you know, that the lie is becoming obvious. Sorry, Chris.
No, that's fine. Do you guys feel that, in terms of WikiLeaks, that it is pushing on other issues with a positive impetus? Let's discuss disclosure. There may be more of a pressure now on governments around the world to kind of go, okay, right, the time is right now, because there are UFO cables due to be released by WikiLeaks on this matter about especially about mass sightings and whatnot, and how the U.S. have reacted to that with fear, with panic and whatnot. But essentially, the question for you guys is, I mean, do you feel that, especially, you know, you guys who are kind of thinking about Israel here, that is there a positive impetus coming from WikiLeaks? Are we looking at a kind of a yin yang thing going on here, you think? Or
I think that's entirely possible.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be something in there in the shit sandwich. I think it's hitting on certain stuff. Well, for one thing, people are seeing the duplicity, the fact that they're performing in front of your eyes, and then they go into the back room, and they make decisions that affect hundreds and hundreds of millions of lives and people understand that a bit more now, a heck of a lot more now. I think that is quite significant. It's not as just as much
believe.
As.
I believe. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to move it a little bit. But I believe that this is our awakening, because what's happening now, okay, is what has happened to us maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, you know, whenever we awoke and saw the lie for what it was, this is now happening on the global scale. That's what WikiLeaks is. This is what I was trying to get to earlier. You know, to us, we are awakened by some probably very unpleasant means at the beginning. But now we're in the world. You know, here we are. You know, we find ourselves in the Twilight Zone. And we're trying to figure out our world. And now that is happening to the rest of the planet. And that is what the powers that be are very afraid of. Because as soon as they see this, because what's happened also is that we who have been in that place are now in a new place. This is the shift that we were talking about. Whether we were fourth dimensional then and now we're fifth dimensional, I don't know about dimensions or anything like this. It just seems that the level of awareness that we have had for the last God knows how long has now built up to a point when that's overflowed. It's crossed the gap. It's now across the chasm. The 6% of people who are interested in conspiracy theories and watch David Icke and heard Alex Jones is now becoming 7 and 8%, because at that 6%, that's the magic number when you're looking at take-up of ideas in the world. And now we've crossed that because WikiLeaks has suddenly exploded onto everybody's newspapers and television screens. What are they talking about? Oh, they're saying that what these people in the conspiracy theories have been saying all these years, that there really is a conspiracy and there is really secret stuff going on and that politicians really do lie all the time and all that, you know, and they're all acting and people are starting to see the numbers behind the matrix right
yes.
now. So, yes, I think in a way, Chris, compare, we're talking about your tip with the tipping point. These things happened at the same time. So now we have an intellectual awakening and a visceral awakening, a real stomping of the foot and saying no.
Mm-hmm. 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 And it also allows people to enjoy the game a lot more. Get on with your life, enjoy the game of life, enjoy whatever money that you have. Just get on with your experience that you're working towards and just know that it is being played and it's like I see into you. I see what is going on. That is the greatest threat to these Illuminati guys, these Bavarian guys, these bloodlines, the royals, all these other so-called, if you want to call them lizards and whatnot, it's the fear of being found out for who they really are.
Well, they like to live under rocks, for God's sake, you know. Mm-hmm. These are rock-dwelling beings, and they don't like to be exposed in the sunlight. It's bad for their skin. You know?
Well, what's even more, let me interject something, Chris.
Yeah, go for it.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is apparently the handler for the fake president,
mm-hmm.
has said, we've got to do something because they're all awakening.
Yep.
And I thought how really interesting that is.
Yeah, he's well panicked. I mean, if there was one human being on the planet who looked most like a lizard, you're looking at Brzezinski, aren't you?
Henry Kissinger, too.
Well, he's supposed to be a robot, though, in fairness. They brought him back to something else. But that
a robot lizard reptilian clone.
That is another, well, I mean, that goes into, is of course, the Bilderberg. People are becoming a lot more aware of this this organization, the Bilderbergers, that are and they've got people from your countries. They've got, you know, they've got the chairman of Goldman Sachs International from my country, Ireland, and he's one of the head honchos on that committee. They're for the Trilateral Commission. They had David Rockefeller coming to Dublin, and people don't have a clue about what is going on. No. Oh, okay, and that's fine. It may seem a little bit like, oh, geez, like a little bit kind of, you know, despairing to us. But it doesn't mean anything to them until it personally affects them on, say, a monetary level or on a level where it's like, damn.
Where's my next baby?
We should have had a little bit of food stored away because, yet, you know, the Gulf Stream is kind of screwed right now and it can't reach the west of Ireland or the rest of Europe, and that's why we're getting all of this cold weather coming down. And the whole thing that happened with BP and the cracks that was going into the water, did that have something to do with it? Absolutely. Was there a so-called plan behind that? Maybe. Don't believe what we say. Go and do a bit of research, tie a couple of dots together, and you may find out something that may freak you out a bit, you know. And the weather is freezing where we are at the moment, Jeremy.
Yep, absolutely. I trudged my 3/4 mile through the snow tonight. For the first time in 2 weeks. Well,
I mean, you guys, with a view to 2011. I know, Jeremy, I've kind of posed this question to you a couple of times, and we kind of have, you know, joked about it. I mean, if you can't laugh, you're going to cry. I'll put this to you guys. I mean, what do you think? How do you feel? What do you feel is going to emanate or manifest in 2011? Kind of putting web bots and things like that to one side. I mean, do you feel it's going to be kind of double or treble? What kind of happened this year? What do you think?
Excuse me, guys. I'm so sorry to jump in, but I do have to go. I have a birthday reservation, and I've got to get going.
Okay.
But
happy,
Michelle.
Happy birthday. Have a wonderful time.
Happy birthday, Michelle. Have a great time, and we all love you.
Thank you. I love you guys, too. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Have a great evening.
Excellent. Good night, Michelle.
Good night.
So,
what do I think is going to happen next year? Just about anything you can imagine, because they're going to start pulling out stops. There's going to be all kinds of, for lack of a better term, revolutions happening next year.
Civil unrest.
A lot of civil unrest. Yep. Now, let's talk about Iceland for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what they did on their new... They're going to write a new constitution. And what did the people in power tell the politicians? We don't need you to help write it. They're enlisting ordinary citizens. Ordinary citizens to write the constitution for their country.
Mm.
And I said, how quaint is that? Getting back to the basics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for Iceland. They did stick the finger up at the central banks, and they got punished for it, and they're recovering. And very, very soon we'll see a raise in Iceland. But they are going to try and use HAARP on them again and set off another volcano. That was their little message. Don't mess with the central bankers. We can control the weather. We can control your volcanoes. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to go back to where I was talking before about look at our situation. You know, that we're looking in a kind of 1938-style Germany.
Those that fail to read and understand true history are condemned to repeat it over and over and over again.
Absolutely. So, history. Now, I wasn't, well, when I say I personally, in this lifetime, in this parallel universe, I wasn't there in 1938, but I know that at that sort of time, I don't know. Dave, would you say 1938, or do you think we're a little ahead or behind of that?
I think we're more like 1933 whenever Hitler took power.
Uh-huh.
Because if you look at the interesting parallels between how Hitler came in and took over, how he got the political party to back him, because he said the same thing, I am change.
Mm.
Now, Obama said I am change. He didn't tell us he was going to change and stick it up our butts. But Hitler did something with his brown shirts. Now with this health bill that they passed, it's 2,700 pages that no one still hasn't read, but I read most of them. His brown shirts are in there. And now they're having people, they want neighborhood snitches.
Yes.
Well, snitch on me, you know, big deal.
And call you a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm.
I'm already a domestic terrorist, for Christ's sake.
At least you can claim it, Dave.
And I'm proud of it, because I back up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if you don't like it, kiss my ever-loving left foot.
And that was a great quote you had as well, Dave. You know, guys, sometimes the past is the key to understanding the present. Just going back, re-examining, researching, and applying that to now is quite important, because a repetition is involved. Do people necessarily a lot of the time learn the mistakes that they made in the past?
I think not necessarily about mistakes, but I think we should be very observant of the patterns of the evil empire. They do it over and over again. They do the same things.
Mm.
We should know by now. We really
Abraham Lincoln had a very interesting quote.
Mm-hmm.
Those who denied freedom to others deserve it not for themselves.
Yes.
And Mr. Merlo told me the same thing. And you talk about history. When you read the history, when I read a modern day history book, I cringe because that's not the way it was.
No.
The Bay of Pigs invasion took, not the Bay of Pigs invasion. Let's talk about the happening in Vietnam, where the North Vietnamese torpedo boats made an attack. Well, there were no new North torpedo boats, but they had a destroyer out there that had what's the T-2 trainer. Now, it could broadcast a radio signal that could be picked up by other ships. They could simulate torpedoes and attacks and aircraft and all this other stuff. It took 3 weeks to write the program. It is not unreasonable to think that starting with 9-1-1, there's no way they could have written the Big Brother Act, we call whatever it is.
Patriot.
The Patriot Act, there's no way they could have written that overnight. Essentially, yeah. What happened, and nobody read it. They weren't allowed to vote on it. They were said, pass it, because we need it.
Yeah.
Well, one of these days, there's going to be a reckoning. And I'm serious, there's going to be a dead reckoning about all this stuff that's happened. And I am so glad I had nothing to do with this later stuff.
Hmm.
Now, someone says, well, you killed a lot of people when you were in the service. Yeah, but the blood doesn't rest in my head and my hands. And that's the hardest thing for veterans to understand, is the blood we spilt does not rest in our head and hands. It rests on the head and hands of those that ordered it. We're innocent, guys. We just carried out orders, and I got four discharges to prove it. I did what I did because I was sent out to do it by my government. I did it willingly. I did it knowing that what I did what I thought was right. Now, was it right looking at it back? Now, hell no, it was probably all wrong. But it still doesn't rest in my head and my hands. These politicians think they're going to, because they can get a lot of money and they can become rich and wealthy and they can bamboozle illegal laws down our throats and we're supposed to bend over and take it. Folks, I got news for you. Wake up, because your days are numbered. The Creator's going to come back and he's going to hold you accountable. Now, a lot of us are going to die between now and then. Probably that's why they got 389 concentration camps set up. They got over 400,000 troops in this country, foreign troops, I might add, who have one job to do: break down your door, kill you, and take your weapons.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I think, as we're coming to towards the end. I think that there is a group of humans who left the planet a long time ago and are on their way back. And the reason I say this seems to be the only possible, you know, no extraterrestrials are going to save us. However, no gods and angels, they all have this, you know, I believe in all these things. And they have their own rules that they can only obey. But the rules are different if you're, you know, if it's your own people. So I believe that what's happening right now is that there is a resurgent humanity, a group that went away and came back. Well, the prodigal sons, you know, maybe they went out looking for gold and couldn't find anywhere elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But a human colony that may come back
and help sort this thing out, and may even be in the process of coming back right now, which is why we're seeing flashes in the sky and ships up there, and battles and all sorts of other things that are going on. What do you think of that concept, guys?
I think and I feel that you're on a good track, Chair. I mean, I would admit and say with next year, I've expressed this to people. I said, well, look, if 2010's anything to go by, and with all of these things that are these agendas that are being pushed, it's going to be a very active year exopolitically, geopolitically, and geothermally within the Earth. We could see a heck of a lot more. Or as Cliff and I says, well, instead of saying that, I mean, it could be something that will be a complete OMFG, where we were like, well, we didn't see that coming. Exactly. Absolutely. And astrologically, I've learned, with the cosmic rhythm, it's a thing of preparing and not predicting. Preparing, you become that little bit more awake and aware instead of predicting ahead. And going back to the positivity things in the future, I feel there's been a lot of stuff has been averted. We could have been in a really, really crappy position right now and many, many years ago too. So, Jeremy, I believe that what you were saying about these other entities, these things that are our cousins that are watching over us, there has been intervention, but not at a kind that we can yet explain or are evolved to explain. We think we have some sort of grasp on it. We can't see, smell, taste, hear, or touch it, but there has been intervention on levels, and there has been intervention on levels of many, many reports that have been accelerating about unidentified flying objects being spotted on military bases and at airports, but particularly...
Well, the nukes, bases, you know...
The nukes, exactly. They have been scrambling
They wrecked
the hardware.
They wrecked 11.11%. 11.11%. One-ninth, you know. Yeah, brilliant. Dave, what would your take be on this?
I'm glad you asked me that.
I'm glad I did.
Disclosure is happening at an alarming rate. But the disclosure not only will come from WikiLeaks, it'll come from the government. But you got to be careful about it because too many people are now saying it. I watched an interesting article last night on UFO hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They went back to Germany. Germany has had space travel since at least 1942 when they sent their flying saucers to Mars to build a base. Mm-hmm. That's documented. That's provable. And what we're going to find out is a lot of this stuff that looks like flying saucers is actually governments who have reverse-engineered off-world craft. And it's like that young gentleman who went into the Pentagon computers with a dial-up and found the whole off-world Navy.
Yes.
And then that guy from England that was taking photographs of these off-world ships. But they were always never clear.
Mm.
And I thought, how interesting. They're rubbing our noses in it because right there's the proof. They've had bases on the backside of the moon for years. Probably since before the 60s. And what are they mining? Helium-3, which they use to power their reactors for the wealthy that can afford it. 90% of the world's population has to go, so the selected 9%, which are the slaves, can take care of the worthy 1%. And I don't guess we're part of the 9%, because I know damn well none of us are worthy of the worthy 1%. disclosure is going to come, folks. I mean, I recorded 3.5 hours of a video of a unidentified flying object that come up straight from what looked like Area 51. When we looked at it, it was like a pyramid. We could see the base of it with a triangular part going out. Yet, when we videotaped it and put it on a special setting on my video camera, which is a tape video camera,
mm-hmm.
you could see this energy going out in a 360-degree circle, pulses. And when we looked at the lights, there was a different light on each part we could see. And when it got down over to what I would say would look like Henderson, Nevada, it mm-hmm. flipped straight down, and we could see it. Same light, red, white, blue, green, yellow, violet, and orange. Seven colors. Same rhythmic pattern. And that's posted on YouTube on UFOs Pahrump, Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll check that out.
Do I believe in UFOs? Oh, yeah, I've seen too many. I've seen too many not to believe in it. Like one night when I was sitting here, when I moved up here in 2000, it was in July or August, I had my computer room in one bedroom. And my dogs, I had three dogs in, they had this strange questioning bark. So I went out and looked, and they were all looking up to the northeast. And it took a while to watch the pattern, blink, 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 triangular. All of a sudden, all three lights come on, and it, all I could see was the back. And there was a bar light across the back, and it was gone.
Mm.
Must have been one of them TR-3Bs they talk about. Like one night when I was coming back off a mission in, well, I was picked up in Greece and put aboard a carrier or guided missile cruiser actually going back to Naples, Italy. And we left in the evening, and I'm sitting on the long-range radar. 500 miles, I get a target. 1 minute later, I get a target at 400 miles. That means this thing's traveling at 6,000 miles an hour at 120,000 feet. So I come up on a air defense frequency, and I had ground bases and every other long-range ship in the formation with the long-range radar tracked it. And we tracked it till it got to the Straits of Gibraltar, then it went, did a 90-degree turn and went straight up. We could track it up to 200,000 feet, and we lost it. But 6,000 mile an hour in 1962, give me a break, folks.
Was that obviously not one of ours then?
And it wasn't one of the Russians either.
Yeah. Because the Russians have these cosmospheres, is that right? Spherical UFOs that travel with some, they make sonic booms and on the coast of America. I've been reading that for years. I think that was Sherman Skolnick. I don't know how real that was.
Well, also, they're also, you know, the government's got something to replace the SR-71.
Mm.
And they've tracked that for years coming down the coast at in excess of, Mach, or in excess of 2,000 miles an hour.
Mm. Wow. Nice wheels if you can get them. Anyway, we're coming to the end of our little conversation this evening, and it's been fascinating, it's been wide-ranging, and we haven't even talked about the Chinese boxes. Brothers and sisters, please go to David Wilcox's website, which is divinecosmos.com, and read the October Surprise series of articles. They're there on the front page on the right-hand
side. They're fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating, and read about the Chinese box. I've always loved Chinese boxes, you know, the little puzzle boxes where you have to push a little piece in and then move another.
Oh, that kind
forward.
Of a box, huh?
That's a Chinese. That's a Chinese box.
Ooh.
So there's a lovely kind of humor in this whole thing, you know. And when you read it, you'll realize why Dave is laughing so much. So, thank you very much, Dave, Chris, and also Michelle. And I hope best wishes to Ben, and I hope he gets much better. Maybe we'll speak to Jeremiah later on. So thank you very much, and I'll see you next week with what is bound to be a fascinating guest. It's always on the fly. We'll see what happens. Do come to Ever Beyond and enjoy yourselves. Dave Corso, thank you.
You're most welcome, Jeremiah Perrone.